your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
It's a preview of one of Wisconsin's most colorful and beloved traditions, the 82nd annual Holiday Folk Fair International. And this incredible event, it connects cultures from pretty much every single country in the world and right here in our own backyard at Wisconsin State Fair Park. And joining me live in the studio, three people who are very dedicated to making this event one of the best ever. Dr. Paul Trabian, President and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin. How are you?
Oh, great. It's great to be here. This is my favorite event for sure.
How can it not be?
Right.
How long have you been involved with the Holiday Folk Fair?
Well, I've been on the board for 12 years, and then about 2.5 years ago, I became president and CEO. I was working in the background. Now I'm, paying all the bills and doing all that stuff. But it's just a wonderful event because we get to come, the community gets to come and discover themselves. Discover others, find our similarities, find out about our differences. And then I think the most important thing, especially nowadays, we can celebrate our differences.
And find out our commonalities as well, because, like breaking bread are those interesting commonalities amongst all sorts of cultures. And Dr. Trabian, who have you brought with you on this occasion?
Well, I'll let them introduce themselves. They're wonderful people here that have been a newcomer and somebody who's been here a long time. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Newcomer first.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. My name is Sai. I'm from Japan. I currently work at the International Institute of Wisconsin as a JOI coordinator, stands for Japan Outreach Initiative Coordinator. So my job is they're promoting the Japanese culture to the local communities in Milwaukee. So I'm really happy to participate.
Joy is just a great name for an organization that you're bringing the joy, and you look beautiful.
Oh,
we will describe. Is this a kimono that you're wearing?
Yes, I'm wearing kimono right now.
Oh, it is beautiful.
Thank
if you,
you.
Want to see, because everyone is dressed wonderfully. We'll meet Gina in just a moment. Text the word watch to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Text watch to 855-616-1620. We'll describe everyone's regalia, but, we've got to introduce Gina next.
Yeah.
Gina, you've been involved not just in Holiday Folk Fair, but you're about to celebrate 25 years with Festa Italiana?
No, actually, 25 years I will be performing as a participant at Holiday Folk Fair.
Aha! Yeah. I misunderstood you, but you've got a lot of experience.
Yeah,
with
well, 25
the cultural
years
events.
As an Italian folk dancer, but
What's the dance company that you are with?
Tradizione Vivente, the Italian dance group of Milwaukee, the largest, most beautiful Italian dance group in the United States.
And Gina, what's your full name?
Gina Jorgensen.
Because it threw me off. And you'll meet Gina Jorgensen. She's an Italian traditional dancer. I was like, that's not what I expected with
Shortino,
a Jorgensen last
name. Is my family's name.
Oh, now that's Italian.
Yeah.
Makes me think of cannolis immediately.
Immediately, yeah. The best ones from Shortino's Bakery.
Oh,
have to give a plug to Joe Vella and his family.
Yeah. Oh, and so we will definitely talk about the food and the flavors. Continuing the conversation about what's special at this year's Holiday Folk Fair International coming up November 21st through the 23rd at Wisconsin State Fair Exposition Center. Stay with us here on What's on Tap on WTMJ.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. I'm Sandy Max, and I am thrilled to be joined in the studio by Dr. Paul Trabian, President and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin. If he sounds familiar, it's because he's been so involved with the Holiday Folk Fair International, which is back.
82nd year. It's just absolutely exciting. It's the same, but it's also different. We have a professional group from Poland come in to dance. That's definitely something you want to make sure you watch. And then another group coming from Utah as well. And then, of course, after you watch them, you got to make sure you hit those food booths.
Oh, I think that's what a lot of people. Yeah, you look forward to being able to sample so much cuisine. And also in the studio with us, Sai Ino, who is representing Japanese customs, and also Gina Jorgensen, who is representing traditional Italian dance. And we're going to talk about some of the artful aspects of holiday folk fare. And if you don't mind, just describe for the listening audience. We'll start with you, Sai, because just your kimono is beautiful, but I know I don't know all the right words for the garments that you're wearing. So you just kind of what we can see from head to waist if we see you.
Well, I'm wearing kimono right now today. Well, this was from my grandmother.
Wow.
Yes, and then you can see that there are the two layers here, and these are wrapped around the body and tied with a white belt, which is called obi.
Yes.
Yes.
I did know that word. It's like a big, big, big cummerbund. Yes. But yeah, the obi, that's the big belt.
Yes, this is really important things for wearing a kimono. And also, fun fact of the kimono is the color. The designs and the color of kimono each have the different meanings. Right now, I'm wearing a red kimono, which is a representative of the passion, celebrations, and a good luck.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. And that's just here in the studio. What else will you be sharing with Japanese customs at the Holiday Folk Fair International?
I will have my own booth, the Japan booth, for promoting the Japanese culture. I will having the Japanese samurai armor and a kimono display, and then the visitors can try on it and then taking a picture and then having the big, big experience of ancient Japanese culture. And also, I am inviting the three different Japanese performance group, which is the taiko group, the drumming, the traditional drum group in Milwaukee. They are performing in Milwaukee locally. And then also from Chicago, the two different groups coming for the Holiday Folk Fair. One is a Awa Odori group, which is the traditional dance group. And then the Koto group, which is the different traditional Japanese instrument. There's a really, really big, big instrument they have, like a 6 feet.
Oh, so is it long and stringed?
Yes. It's like a Japanese harp.
Yes.
Yes.
It's almost like a steel guitar. I've seen it performed at the Ikebana events at the Pabst Mansion before. Wow. So you're dancing, drumming, the Koto.
Yes.
And getting your hands on a samurai outfit. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful that you welcome the tangibility and that bridges discussion and conversation already.
Oh.
That's wonderful. So, Sai, thank you for describing your outfit to expect in the Japan booth at the Holiday Folk Fair International. And Gina, you also are dressed in some layers of loveliness.
Lots of layers.
Describe your regalia.
You can't have an Italian costume on without lace. So that's very important.
Yes.
We have a traditional skirt, and which has ribbon around, and it usually has some kind of symbolic meaning. We had a variety of costumes over the years. We had Sicilian. This is more of Roman Tuscany. We have a mappina, and a mappina in Italian is a washcloth. So, like if you would be a mother, a wife at home, and you're cooking, so we have a very fancy version of that. We have an apron, we have a corset, and we have pantalones, which are the fancy word for bloomers. So, and the men wear, pants that are come to about the knee, and they have a vest, and they have sashes and ties and things like that. So,
is this what you would wear to dance?
Yes, this is my dance costume.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for wearing it. And what will you be doing specifically at the Holiday Folk Fair? Oh, how many different hats are you wearing, Gina?
Well, first of all, Tradizione Vivente will be performing several times, I think 7 or 8 times over the weekend. Please come see us. We also have a food booth with amazing Italian food. Yes. We have a new thing on the menu. I won't even share what it is.
Oh, it's going to surprise us? Give us a hint. Is it savory or sweet?
It's savory and it's yummy and it has mozzarella cheese and it's good.
Manja.
We also have a cultural exhibit where we will be celebrating all the beautiful instruments and music that have come from Italy and the different regions. And people will be able to hold these instruments and try them. And we're going to have them guessing the sounds of things. So we're going to have kind of a hide and seek kind of thing. And we're going to have bistro tables. So like it would feel like they're in a piazza. So hopefully it's going to be
bringing people together. And I love that both you and Sai are making sure that at your booths, it's tangible experiences. And Paul, You got to talk about head to toe. You always wear just such wonderful regalia, and tell us about your Native American heritage.
Well, thank you so much. Native Alaskans are unique. We have our traditional dress, the regalia, the headband has usually a symbol of the clan on it. So up at the top is a very old symbol for shark. That's Wushkitan. And then on the back of my vest, there's a more of a traditional eagle that people would see. It's not the stylized that we have. My mother wanted to make sure people understood it was eagle, so that's why she created it that way. So that's Cha'ak, eagle house. The regalia is so important because it actually tells about your matrilineal line. Where did you come from? So when you say your name, me, Ch'tekich Tech Cha'ak Wushkitan, Dot Kutiz, right away people know that my mother is Dot Kutiz, little eagle. Shark clan, eagle house, and I'm long seafaring bird. And so the language and the regalia are historic in identification. The music is traditional music for the theme this year. The Tlingits use drums. They have box drums for the Haida, and the Tlingit have the high drums, hand drums, and it's just vocal. Very ancient feel to it. And I have something special to announce. My daughter is going to have a cultural booth this year. And she's becoming a cultural guardian. She's learning from the masters up in Alaska. She lives up there right now with my mother. Wanted to be close to grandma. And so she's learning all the ways. She actually speaks better Tlingit than I do now. And the university wants her to teach.
That must make you so proud, Dr. Trabian.
Yes, I am so excited. And then my mother gave a charge that we're supposed to let everybody know that we're still here. And so what better way to do that than at Holiday Folk Fair? And part of the tradition is that the house, Eagle House, would host and provide a gathering. And I'm stretching a little bit. They call it a potlatch, but you provide for others. So in a way, I'm treating Holiday Folk Fair in my way that everybody external from me is Raven. So I'm giving of myself and IAW to the Raven House, so to speak. And it's just so fulfilling to be able to provide that cultural venue. So I mentioned have the food, but you have to walk it off. So make sure you go to Heritage Lane and look at all the cultural booths. Mm-hmm. Look for the music, the instruments, how it ties to the traditional dress, the values. Look for those similarities so we can celebrate and find our common ground and discover who we are.
Oh, Dr. Trabian, you just said it perfectly. And I love the beadwork and the buttons and the feathers, like everything that you have that I know has so much meaning and has so much intricate artwork to it.
So personally, the beadwork represents a lot of love. My mother is the one who made all the beadwork. And then when I wore out my vest, my daughter stepped in and recreated the vest using my mother's beadwork so that I have another vest to wear out again. And the beadwork, whenever I feel it, I feel closer to my mother. But it's also showing part that we're part of a larger whole. And I think that's one of the things that's beautiful about Holiday Folk Fair is that when you come there, you see all different cultures from all over the world, and you feel like you're part of something larger. And that something larger is that we can celebrate each other and discover all the fun things. And I think right now we need to discover more of that. And of course, what better way to do that but looking for some nice sweet desserts.
I love that you've got the sweet tooth, Dr. Trabian. And Gina, you had mentioned that there's going to be an artful aspect to
this is our
Holiday Folk Fair this year.
This is our fourth year, also representing Milwaukee Public Schools. I'm a visual arts teacher. We have 17 schools that have been creating these beautiful murals, and they are just beautiful. The students from K-5 schools, high schools, middle schools, all different grade levels are creating these amazing murals from Japan. You know, we have Rohingya, we have Italy, we have Norway, Scotland, Ireland, Peru, Malaysia, Sudan. We have and they're amazing.
I was saying, what a great school project to research and learn and then express and interpret what you've learned. Also, the Wisconsin State Fair Expo Center, what a large, wonderful space to spread out and actually show off all of the cultures.
It's like they're walking into a gallery, so they're lit up, and it's quite an experience. So,
well, thank you so much to each of you for being here and sharing a preview of the Holiday Folk Fair International. Dr. Trebion, the official dates and where to come. This is your chance to invite everybody.
Oh, it's going to be the 21st through the 23rd. Make sure you come each day. There's so much to take a look at. You can get your tickets online at folkfair.org. There's early price, and you can also get at the door.
Thank you very much for all that each of you do to make the Holiday Folk Fair International so very special. Sai Ino, we'll see you at the Japan booth. Gina Jorgensen, we'll see you at the Italia booth. And Dr. Paul Trebion, we'll see you everywhere at the Holiday Folk Fair, won't we?
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here, and I wish you a great event.
Thank you so much for having us.
And stay with us, a collaboration of creativity and a craft brew, next on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
What's on Tap is sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And that unusual music is by a sculptor known as Izumi Kato, a Japanese sculptor who you might have seen some of his artwork as part of Sculpture Milwaukee the past year and a half. And the sculptor is now, I think we could say, a craft brewer. With me in the studio is Sculpture Milwaukee's executive director, John Riepenhoff. And John, do the honors. Tell everybody about this brand new craft beer that is a truly creative collaboration.
Thanks for having me, Sandy. So we've got a new Kato Candy IPA, and it's a collaboration between Untitled Art Beverage out of near Madison, Wisconsin, the Beer Endowment, which is a project I've been running since 2014 that basically brings more visibility, like your show, to arts in Wisconsin and around the world, and Sculpture Milwaukee, which is the arts organization which this beer will, the sales of this beer will benefit. And then Izumi Kato, who, as you said, is a really kind of a world famous artist, painter, sculptor, musician, does a lot of different mediums. And we were privileged enough to have debut a new piece of Izumi's right at the end of Wisconsin Avenue near the DeSouvreau sculpture, near the Art Museum and Museum Center Park. And this piece was up for two summers. It just came down. But right at the tail end of that, we were able to create this commemorative version of his artwork. Like the original artwork, it's paint on aluminum. So his original over 9-foot sculpture, which were these aluminum cast boulders with hand-painted kind of a figurative form on there, this bright colored shape.
I say colors, you know, pink and blue and green and whites. You know, it is a multi color. We've seen so much of the Northern Lights lately. It reminds me of that and being close to the lakefront. So to know that you can transform the essence of his sculpture that was part of Sculpture Milwaukee for so long onto, like you said, paint on aluminum as this label. It's, I mean, the can itself, John, is a collector's item.
Yeah, we hope.
It's a work of art.
I really think so, too. They did a really great job of creating a really beautiful image on the can. So,
but you're collaborating directly with Izumi Kato. Like, this isn't like, hey, can we just take some pictures of your art and put it on a can? Like, he's been involved in this process.
Yeah, in some ways, this started almost 2 years ago when Izumi came and visited Milwaukee. It was wintertime, and we shared some beers, and we, gave him the Milwaukee hosting style. And at that time, he had agreed to present his artwork here. And we were trying to think about ways to amplify and kind of distribute. So, you know, Sculpture Milwaukee prints out maps every year for wayfinding to find where our sculptures can be found downtown. We thought, what better way to share this piece and the work that Sculpture Milwaukee does? Sculpture Milwaukee is really unique in North America as far as a really showing contemporary art, rotating exhibition on the streets of downtown Milwaukee. We've had over 40 sculptures up on the streets of Milwaukee this year. Like Izumi's, we commission new work, we put it up, and then oftentimes it's sold and it comes down and it goes to other permanent public spaces.
That's impressive, because you just said you commission work. So that means, for example, Izumi Kato's sculpture was the world premiere here in Wisconsin.
It was the world premiere. And
I don't think people realize that. I think sometimes people think they're traveling sculptures. But yep, to know that we're getting it first and that you have these relationships with artists around the world.
Yep.
Because I love local art, but to also know that we can get exposed to international artists, and those international artists can get exposed to Wisconsin artists.
Yeah, and so Izumi's piece is going to be shown in Tokyo outside of a museum in Tokyo next. So that's it's pretty exciting that, you know, we get to see work here that's part of a really international art conversation. And so beyond that, you know, platform of using the streets of downtown Milwaukee, we estimate over 3 million people got to see Izumi's sculpture while it was up in Milwaukee.
And but you're making Milwaukee a tourist destination for art
lovers, being
this involved in the art community. Sculpture Milwaukee's executive director, John Riepenhoff, in the studio with me. And John, for this Kato candy, which if you look up Izumi Kato, it looks like Kato, which reminds me of Inspector Clouseau. So I thought it was Kato candy at first, but then I got the impression that there is a very popular beer that Untitled Art has called Cotton Candy IPA. Thus, Kato candy. I get the pun. But so tell me about the flavor.
Exactly. So this is an evolution from their really cult favorite cotton candy IPA. And honestly, this beer, it's remarkably tastes like cotton candy. So it's really high-end ingredients and really great hop profile. And, you know, when you pour it and drink it, if you close your eyes, you can kind of imagine yourself eating cotton candy. But part of it is like Izumi is a super popular artist, and he's done collaborations with record album artworks, toy manufacturers. He's made a lot of like collaborative, almost pop art objects. And we thought that would be really nice to kind of think about, do a play on words with his name and do a Kato Candy IPA.
Does he like it? Does he get the joke?
Well, there's some on the way to Japan right now as we speak. Izumi and his studio were in his gallery, his global galleries were really, really supportive of the project, and they've been promoting it. So as you mentioned earlier, you know, we've got, I think, 28 to 30 states that Untitled Art is distributed in. And then beyond that, we're getting some global attention on this. Yesterday, there was a article in Estonia about this project. So it's really fun that, you know, beer has been a long time Milwaukee export, and it's nice to have art kind of occupy some of that space culturally and commercially.
Well, and for, you know, beer brings people together when you're having a pop with some friends, and art brings people together. It can create conversations, and to see a beautiful can that's got these vibrant colors on the shelf, that's going to be eye-catching. But to know that this will be on the shelf in some other states, and they're going to go, wait, Milwaukee? Oh, cool. A beer and they're artful. Like, this is turning on other people to let them know that Milwaukee really is a creative community for flavors and for visual arts.
There's a little map of downtown Milwaukee on the four pack.
In
it.
Fantastic.
It shows where some wayfinding for art is there. So yeah, this definitely checks a bunch of cultural and entertainment boxes for me. And for me, a beer is about sharing it with others. And also, you know, it takes a lot to get somebody into an art gallery or a museum, but the beers, well, not only do they have the artwork image on the cans, but there's a story of Sculpture Milwaukee and art. So we're hoping that we can welcome more people into the pleasures of art through bars and restaurants. And
through having a sip. Artists of Flavor. Untitled Art is the brewing company. Kato Candy IPA. John Riepenhoff from Sculpture Milwaukee, thank you so much for truly elevating Milwaukee in our flavor profile, but also around the country and around the world to make Milwaukee an arts destination.
Thanks for having me, Sandy.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
All smiles here in the WTMJ studio as I have a trio of musical women with me, Milwaukee Community Orchestra co-founder and music director Marjorie Deutsch, associate conductor Carrie Krenzler, and maybe surprisingly to you, WTMJ's Jessica Gatzo, an oboist with the Milwaukee Community Orchestra. And I say it's all smiles here. What did we just hear, ladies?
Oh, the host, St. Paul Suite, coming up on our inaugural concert.
This is a big deal. The last
Very
time
exciting.
You were here, you had announced Milwaukee Community String Orchestra coming together. What is the Milwaukee Community String Orchestra?
Well, we had such a huge waiting list for people wanting to get into the orchestra that one of our solutions was to create another orchestra, because, you know, that's what normal sane people decide to do, right? Yeah. And so we started.
But
this,
if the demand is there, yeah,
and it
that's
was.
Wonderful.
And we are really meeting a community need. And so we have about 50 string players who meet Monday nights at Shorewood High School between 7 and 9:30 p.m. And we get together and we play standard string repertoire, and it's fabulous. I think our youngest is maybe 18 or 19, and our oldest is somewhere in the 70s. So it's a great cross-section. It's a great community. There's just so much joy. There's just so much joy in those rehearsals.
And the process to become part of the Milwaukee Community Orchestra or the Milwaukee Community String Orchestra, how does one get involved if they're like, I haven't played for a while, but gosh, that sounds wonderful.
Well, you go to our website, mkeorg.org, and you click the Join Us button, and you can sign up, and that's it. There's no auditions. It's no pressure. You come and you be a member of our great sections, and you play. And there are people who have come to us who have played maybe like one or two notes on the concert, and then 3 years down the line, you know, they're playing 50% of the notes. And then the next year they're playing 60, and they just keep going, and it comes back. It's like riding a bike.
It's lifelong learning, and it's so welcoming. And Jessica, your sister is also a musician. She's part of the Milwaukee Community String Orchestra. What does she play, and what has her experience been?
Yeah, Emily plays violin. She's usually with me in the original orchestra, but her college schedule said otherwise this semester.
Sure.
So she, it came just in perfect timing for her to hop onto the string orchestra for this first session. And she was telling me that she's really enjoying it. It kind of reminds her of high school, because my high school had like separate bands and orchestra that right. rarely crossed paths. And she kind of joked. So she's like, oh, I can finally hear myself better without the winds in the background.
That is a solid point. So what is in store for the inaugural concert, for the debut coming up already Sunday, November 23rd? You must be very excited at the Milwaukee Youth Arts Center.
We are. We're very excited.
They sound great.
They do. They sound fabulous. And our program is very, very eclectic and very, very, I think, ear-pleasing. Wouldn't you agree?
I would. I would indeed. We're playing Benjamin Britten, Simple Symphony. There's nothing simple about it, actually, but it's based on tunes he wrote when he was a child, which is called, why it's called a Simple Symphony. Then you heard the Holst St. Paul Suite. And we're playing a string symphony by Mendelssohn that he wrote when he was 14, because that's what he did when he was 14. And then, very special, we are playing the Bach double concerto for two violins, featuring the Milwaukee Community Orchestra's concertmaster, Paul Sokolsky, who's quite a brilliant talent.
Oh, my.
And another young violinist, Tony Perez, that I've known for decades. So the two of them together, it's quite a treat.
And it's affordable art. Not only is it community, all this local talent, but for $10,
yeah, you can't beat
it. You're going to get a wonderful afternoon of music. Circle your calendar, Sunday, November 23rd, a 3 o'clock performance, Milwaukee Youth Arts Center on Walnut Street, and you'll be one of the first to see the Milwaukee Community String Orchestra. That is very exciting.
It is.
Well, you're not finished yet. The Milwaukee Community Orchestra. Do you do concerts every season?
We do three concerts a season.
Fall, spring, summer.
With the big group. And then the string orchestra is just two concerts.
Well, so the winter concert is coming.
Yes.
For the Milwaukee
winter
Community.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
We will get a preview of that performance coming up on December 5th. Next on What's on Tap on WTMJ.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
To What's on Tap. More grand music, and you can hear that song performed live by the Milwaukee Community Orchestra. In the studio with me from the Milwaukee Community Orchestra, founder and music director Marjorie Deutsch, and the associate conductor Carrie Krenzler, and a member of the Milwaukee Community Orchestra, WTMJ's Jessica Gatzo. We're going to hear you on oboe at the winter concert Friday, December 5th at Carroll University. What is the name of the song that we just heard?
In the Bleak Midwinter.
Yes.
But it's actually kind of a cheerful
arrangement.
It's not bleak at all.
It didn't sound bleak. But is that a challenging piece for you? Is it a joyful?
That's sort of a joyful winter, kind of getting into that holiday spirit piece. But there's definitely challenge in this program. That's for sure.
Is it in Frozen? I see that's on the program. The Disney classic.
Well, Frozen's another sort of bringing us into winter piece, but I'd say the challenges are in the Shostakovich and the Gershwin. Mm-hmm. But they're fun challenges. They're
We always want to pick something that'll really help us grow. We want to challenge ourselves, and then we want to mix it with something that we can do really well, not that much difficulty. But this holiday music is really good. I think that Bells of Christmas medley is fantastic. So Frozen, I mean, bring the kids. Come on, everybody. Tell them to dress up.
Oh, you know? That's true. It is a winter concert. So we do encourage these things. Carrie, what are some other things that you can encourage people for the winter concert on December 5th?
Well, they should buy tickets for sure.
That's true.
And those are available on our website, mkeorc.org. Please come, bring children, bring everybody. This is a great, wonderful event. And we're actually out in Waukesha this time. We've expanded our audience area, and we're now out in Carroll College, and we're very excited to play on that beautiful stage. It's a gorgeous hall, and acoustically, it's just a fabulous place to be.
To go see people in our community who are expressing themselves and connecting with the music and connecting with each other, it really is community.
And the fact that there are 150 people making music at the same moment is kind of witnessing a miracle. It's very unusual to have. It's way bigger. It's twice as big as most orchestras.
Well, and as conductors, each of you, yes, that is the magic in having that happen all at once together.
Really good, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean, everyone is just so excited about what we're doing.
And I think it's important to point out that these are people with day jobs. Yeah. And they're not professional or, you know, semi-pro musicians. They're just people who played in high school and college, and they want to continue doing it.
And have a passion for it now.
Yeah.
And that mix of people makes every rehearsal just such an interesting learning experience, learning from someone who maybe has a music major in your section or someone who hasn't picked up their instrument in several years or decades.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we have a lot of music educators in the orchestra, which is really great because it gives so much to everybody.
Oh, and again, it's community. So you can lean over and go, hey, if you try this, your fingering might go more fluidly, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful. So Milwaukee Community Orchestra, and the debut of the Milwaukee Community String Orchestra, which is also taking fresh members, mkeorch.org, mkeorc.org. Thank you so much for bringing music to people's lives, the people who are performing it, and also the people who can go see it.
Thank you, Sandy.
Marjorie Deutsch and Carrie Krenzler of Milwaukee Community Orchestra, and I have to say this, Milwaukee Community String Orchestra. Get it all in there. Thank you so much, and here's to some wonderful performances. The song you need to hear is next. It is a legendary 80s hit by Thomas Dolby, who's going to be at Shank Hall Sunday sharing his music and memories from that awesome decade. The song you need to hear, sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. Visit them at flanners.com. At Flanners, music matters. Sound advice at the best price. Just press play.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max. And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes are going to be playing at 10. These go to 11.
Thomas Dolby, the man who blinded us with science with his hit song in 1982. Thomas Dolby's going to be at Shank Hall Sunday. And his 1982 smash, She Blinded Me with Science, it really did make synth pop history. It's a top five hit. And that is a real scientist. Dr. Magnus Pike is shouting, science! Thomas Dolby is really cool. He has continued to create. He has scored films. He created some of the early cell phone ringtones, and he's even been the music director for TED Talks. So expect a really cool night of behind-the-scenes stories and some quirky electronic magic from one of pop's true inventors. Thomas Dolby, live at Shank Hall, Sunday night. He will play this song, the song you need to hear, She Blinded Me with Science. It's sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. Visit them at flanners.com. At Flanners, music matters. Sound advice at the best price. Just press play.